Good morning. How many parents are out there? Thank you. God bless you. How many people had parents? All the orphans. I just wanted to show you just a few parenting hacks. I found these on the internet. So some of them are legit. So first one, his kids were fighting, and so he put up the... I thought that was brilliant. Okay, next one. So he's got the barriers between... I'm sure eventually they'll start pounding on them. Here's another one. It's not medicine, it's Pepsi. Trust issues. Okay, next. What do you think about that one? Smart, huh? You just go out and you paint that whole fence with water. That's brilliant. Next. What do you think of this one? This one is actually, this one's actually more for wives. For your little secret stash. Okay, next one. Brilliant, right? Got the little lid for the coffee under the popsicle. And then the last one. This one, keep your kids busy for hours on those controllers that are not connected to anything. I don't know what the message is there. All of these probably create trust issues. But anyway, so there was a woman who was in labor, and she was telling her husband, she said, "This is so hard." And the nurse reaches over to her and she goes, "Honey, this is the easy part." So for those of you who have your kids here, we do Family Sunday on purpose. There's a number of reasons we do Family Sunday. First of all, to give the people that serve in children's ministries a little bit of a break. How many of you serve in children's ministries? Would you please stand up? We want to honor you. Don't be shy. Yes. Those are the ones who are the heroes. Those are the ones who get the big crowns in heaven, which they're going to just end up throwing down at Jesus' feet anyway. But I love children. I love everything about Family Sunday. I love having the kids in here. You know, we call this the living room. And so I just want to tell you, if you have a hard time with kids, or you think it's distracting or it's too loud or whatever, just remember what Jesus said. He said, "Leave the little children alone. Don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." You know, one version says, "Suffer the little children to come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus loved kids. He hung out with kids. And so I want to just tell you, parents, be at ease. This is the living room. If your kids act up, or, you know, you feel like they're being too loud or too distracting, please don't feel in any way like you're taking away from the service. I mean, obviously, keep your kids from going into someone's purse and taking money out. I mean, but I really want you to know that we do it on purpose. I think heaven is going to look a lot like this. I mean, I think there's going to be all different ethnicities. Hallelujah. I think there's going to be all different ages. I think there's going to be all kinds of different people. Praise God, right? So Family Sunday is not a time for you to bristle against it, or to feel like, for parents, I don't want you to feel stressed out. I want you to know it's fine. We're aware that your kids are here, and we're happy about that. And we love those kids, and we love the people that serve in kids ministry. And I will say, I think I probably grew and learned more when I taught in kids ministry than any other time in my Christian life. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about loving the Lord, which seems like a kind of an obvious thing. You know, people have done long series on this topic, but who knows what the Shema is? Anybody know what the Shema is? Does anybody know what, we have our PhD in the back, who knows? Anybody else know what the Shema is? The Shema is this prayer in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, which means, "Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Can everybody say with me, "Listen"? Listen. That's what the word Shema means. Listen. So this is an important thing. It's saying you need to hear this. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your... So what did Jesus leave out when he talked about this? Let's go to Matthew 22, 37. Luke 10, 27. Jesus said, after being asked, what's the most important commandment? He answered, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength, and all your... See, Jesus added the word mind, because in the Hebrew, there was not really a word for mind necessarily. Heart encapsulated everything that a person was, all of their, the basically like their essence. Matthew 22, 37 says, Jesus said to them again in response to the same question. You know, there were 613 laws in the Old Covenant, and they're like, which one's the most important? And Jesus, in classic Jesus style, he just kind of basically goes right past their question and he says, this is a new one. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when people tell you they hate themselves, they're lying. People actually love themselves too much, and that's why they get upset, because they things don't go their way, or they feel like they don't get the way they want. A.W. Tozer actually said that if we really hated ourselves, we'd be happy when things went wrong, because that's what we deserve, right? So Tozer said, instead of saying, oh, I hate myself, I'm so ugly, we should say, wow, I'm so glad I'm ugly because I hate myself, right? Doesn't that make more sense? So to love your neighbor as yourself implies that you must actually love yourself. Okay, Mark chapter 12. There is a bug climbing across this thing right here. Who wants to take him outside? Jesus answered again, the most important commandment is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So this encapsulates the entire person, our mental health, our physical health, our psychological health, our spiritual health, all of it. We are holistic people, and we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of this. And then he says again, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. Do you know that if people actually followed the first commandment, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, there wouldn't be crime, there wouldn't be dishonesty, there wouldn't be adultery, there wouldn't be, none of these things would be the case, because if we love our Lord with everything we have, then we're going to understand and recognize his power and his sovereignty and his goodness, amen? No matter what we go through. I love that song, Firm Foundation. Because I can tell you there are situations in our lives where we go through it and we think, it doesn't seem like God is really coming through here for me. It doesn't seem like God's even listening to me. But I can guarantee and promise, hold on, because he is always faithful. He is always, always, always faithful. So I ask you this, what's in your heart? What's in your heart? Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These words I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Now, the word heart really, again, encapsulates the center of who a human being is. There is a guy named Thomas Cranmer. I think I have a picture of him. He's a jolly-looking fellow. Do we have a picture of him? There he is. You just want to hang out with him. He's a homie, right? So he said, what the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. So this is, you know, when it says here, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. This is why Jesus says we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And not only to love him, I mean, the thing is, this is the thing that I came to this week as I was studying this. I realized we can't even love him with our whole heart on our own, in our own strength. We have to have our hearts transformed by him. We don't even have the capacity. You can't just try harder to love him more. And not to mention that love is a verb, right? You know, if a guy's like, yeah, I love my wife, but I mean, I don't really like her that much. Right? Have you heard people say that? You haven't? Oh, you just live a few more years, you will. But love is a verb. You know, they say that if you're struggling in a relationship, act as though you love that person. Not to be phony, but to convince yourself and to begin to love them as a sacrifice and an act of worship unto the Lord. Because service and worship are interchangeable in the Greek. That to serve someone is actually to love them. Love is a verb. Love is not an emotion. You know, how many of you watch, you can be honest. Well, maybe you shouldn't raise your hand. But I was going to ask, how many of you watch like the dating shows? You know, Love is Blind and all the, you know, all the, there's one honest guy in the group. Okay, there's two honest, three. Okay. But you know, all of these, they're like, I just want love in my life. I just want someone to complete me. I just want someone to fulfill me. It's like, dude, that's not how it works. You lay down your life for someone else. You pour out your love on someone else. That's where you're really going to get blessed. That's where you're really going to understand. But for us to love the Lord, we have to have our heart transplant. We have to be born again. We cannot love God on our own. How many of you have tried? It's not an emotion. Loving the Lord is an act of surrender. That's truly the only way that you can really love God, is to completely and fully surrender to Him, because He won't fail. God will never fail, no matter what you're going through. If you're in a situation right now and you feel alone, you feel abandoned, you feel rejected by God, I'm telling you, hold on. I want to share this little story with you. I got a message that there was this pastor and his family that wanted to come and stay with me. They had heard a message that I had done in my mother church in California, and so they wanted to come and stay with me, which was a little strange because I had never met these people. I had no idea who they were. So apparently he used to be a pastor on staff of one of the largest, the fastest growing churches in America. He was a campus pastor. And that church kind of imploded and fell apart. And so he started his own church. And he said that they have been struggling and struggling, struggling. I think it's for 9 years. And they've included, they have three adorable kids, and they've included their kids in sharing their struggles with them and asking their kids, hey, pray with us about this. Pray with us. We trust that God is good. This is what's going on. And they didn't have a place to live or anything, and they were having all kinds of financial issues. There's a lot of details to the story. But all this to say, when I met them, they were at a very, very, very low point in their lives. And I could so relate to it, because I had felt the same way in asking saying unto God, you know, I love you, Lord, but I don't understand you. I trust you, but I don't understand you. And I just looked them in the eye and I said, hold on. I said, continue to love God, because He is faithful. He will never fail. And so as they drove away, I was like, oh God, I know that this could be a long time for them. This could be a really long time. Well, they drove back. They're from Northern Washington. They drove back. And they had a lot of situations that they needed to see the hand of the Lord. And they kind of decided at one point, like, I don't know if this is going to happen. And at the very last minute, classic God, the very last minute, they had someone say to them, hey, we want to talk to you about your housing situation. Because they had been praying and praying and praying for a house. How many of you know Seattle area is extremely expensive, right? Although I did hear LA just became the most expensive place in the nation to live. Anybody know that? LA is the most expensive, but Seattle is probably close. And so they couldn't afford to buy a house. They sat down with someone who told them, we want to take care of your housing situation, so go pick out a house up to $800,000. I wanted to read you this, and because I asked him to write this down. I can't share all of the details of this, but I did watch as they shared these things with their kids, I texted this to myself. This is what he said. His name is Scott. He said, the next day after this had happened, Mo, his wife, Mo and I got to tell our kids what God did. God answered our prayers. God was fighting for us even as we waited on him. God is giving us a house and a yard. The kids couldn't believe it. They burst into tears. They were overwhelmed by joy and the goodness of God. This story for us is surreal. I've always known God is big enough, and he's about more than the house. And we know that we are loved and we are delighted in by God. Isn't that an amazing story? I mean, and the thing is, I watched them. They talked to their kids. They shared these things with their kids. And this is really what today's message is about. Not only loving God, surrendering to God, trusting God, giving yourself over, but also talking about that, passing the baton on to others. How many of you were ever in a relay race in track? Yeah? Ryan, come up here. This is the distinction between a relay race and a regular race. And they say that what's the most important part about the relay race? The handoff. Today we're talking about handing off, passing the baton. And this is for everybody. This is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this message is for you. A lot of people apply this to parenting, but this can be for coworkers. This can be for your family. This can be for people in your neighborhood, in your to talk about these things, to make this a part of your everyday thinking, but to pass the baton on to others, to take the truth of God's word and to pass it on. It says in Deuteronomy 6:7, repeat these things to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Let them be a symbol and a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and the city gates. This is basically a way of passing the baton, passing the truth, talking about the faithfulness of the Lord. It says in Psalm 145, it says, one generation will declare your works to the next. This is our job, is we're supposed to declare the faithfulness of God. And like Pastor Kaule said, if you haven't seen the faithfulness of God yet, hold on. Continue to put your trust in him. He will not let you down. So, yeah, I was going to ask you. Yeah, Ryan's just going to stand here. He's just going to model. Okay, so what do you do in a relay race? Okay, I'll explain it. Turn around. Okay. So you have your hand out. So when you run a relay race, the person with the baton, they come up to the other person and they say something. What we used to say back in the olden days was we'd say, go, and then we'd say, hand. Okay, so that was a really bad handoff. My bad. That was my bad. Okay, but let's do that one more time. So this is what you do. You say, all right, so you got your hand out, and I say, go, hand, and then they put their hand up. This is, can you give him, that was brilliant. That is what passing the baton is like. And you know, back in the Old Testament, in so many of the fathers of the faith, so many dads, and I will say dads because dads do have a primary role in training their kids on the love of the Lord. Don't leave that up to mom. And don't leave it up to your youth pastor or the kids ministry. This is a job that parents are called to do, is to pass that baton on. And so many failed in the Old Testament. Even David, the man after God's own heart, his own sons rose up against him and rebelled against him. So many, Eli, so many of the fathers of the faith didn't pass the baton on well. You know, it's so interesting because you read about the kings and you say, you know, this guy was a righteous king, and he ruled and he honored the Lord. He did everything right. And then it says then his son did what was wicked in the eyes of the Lord. Our responsibility as parents and as believers in Jesus Christ is to pass the baton on to others, to talk about these things with others, to What, anybody know what a phylactery is? It sounds like a medical term. But a phylactery is the thing that, like, you can even see in the Hasidic Jews, they'll have this thing on their head. They carry it because it says, because in this passage right here, it says, let them be a symbol on your forehead. But what this is saying is it's a visual representation of always having the Word of God at the forefront of your mind. Always having it be something that you're thinking about, that you're meditating on, that you're discussing, you're talking about. Don't put your faith on the shelf. And if you are a parent and you're training kids, or if you're a mentor, talk about these things. Talk about what the Lord is speaking to you. Talk about what the Lord is doing in your life. Pass the baton on so that someone else can run the race. You know, you don't know what the impact of your influence is going to be on someone else, on the next generation. This is for people who have already become grandparents, maybe, to talk about these things with your grandchildren, to talk about these things. Talk about them with your coworkers. Bring this up. You know, I am firmly convinced we are in the last days. Maybe people think that that's crazy, but I think we're getting closer. And I believe that the days are evil. Anybody agree with me that the days are evil? And I think that now is the time. The harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. Therefore, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Pass that baton on. Preach the gospel. Teach people to obey everything Jesus has said to them. Teach them. Pass that baton. And today we're going to have a representation of what it really looks like to pass the baton on in a family setting. Can I invite the people that are dedicating their kids up today? Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your day. Again, take somebody out for brunch.